Tonight's daf is daf tes. We got to the bottom of Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says three lines up, two dots. We remind ourselves of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that the only difference between Svarim, which is Sifrei Tanakh, and Tefillin and Mezuzah, is that Tanakh can be written in Bechalashim, and Tefillin can only be written in Ashuris, Lashon HaKodesh. And Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel came along to say that even Svarim can only be written in Yevanis, really Lashon HaKodesh in Yevanis, no other language. So there's a Machlokas Tanakama, can Svarim be written in any language or only Lashon HaKodesh in Yevanis? So Gemara says three lines up, the two dots. The Svarim nichtav michal Lashon v'chulei or minhu. Gemara asks a question. Mikra shekasvu targum. If you have a pasuk that's written in Aramaic, so you write a pasuk that should be written in Hebrew, you write in Aramaic, or targum. We have some instances in the Psukim where an Aramaic word actually appears in the Torah. Shekasu mikra, you wrote it in Hebrew. If you look at Rashi for an example, Rashi says four lines up, mikra shekasu targum, sefer shekasu b'lashon HaKodesh, right, we know sefer Torah should be in Hebrew. Haroi lichta bal mikra kasu lashon Arami, you write in Aramaic, or you have a targum, shayaroi lichta bal targum kigon yagar sadusa, pasuk in the end of Parsha Vayetzi, I think it is. You write that Aramaic word in Mikra, in Lashon Kodesh, back to the Gemara now. So in Mikra, Shekasu Targum, Targum Shekasu Mikra, Ksav Ivri is a different type of script that's being used. So you change the type of script to, I don't know what, from Ivri to Ishurus to Ivri. So the halacha is, Eino Mitames Yadaim Ad Sheikh Tevenu B'Ksav Ashurus Al Sefer Ubudio. It's not going to be considered a Kedusha Sefer Torah until it's written in Ksav Ashurus, the proper script, the proper alephes, on a cloth with ink. So according to this Brisa, it says that it has to be only Ksav Ashurus. In our Mishnah, we said any language works. We also said the Mikra cannot be written in a Targum, but our Mishnah said it could be written in any language you wanted to. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo kasha, not a problem. Kan begufan shelanu, kan begufan shelahen. One is our guf, our text, and the other one is their text. What does this mean? So if you look at Rashi in the top of Testament Aleph, gufan refers to ksiva. What type of script is being used? So Rashi explains, kan begufan shelanu, masnis in our mission that says any dikatani b'cholosh in any language works, Shalosh Shinas Aksav, you're still using the same alphabet that we always use. Elosh Shinas Alosh, you just change what language that's being used, but it's the same exact letters, the alphabet that's being used. That's where it's okay, any language can be used. The Brisa says it doesn't work, it means when you actually change the text, the type of script that's being used, you use Greek letters or something, you use Chinese letters, even though it might sound out like a Hebrew word, but it's written in Chinese, that's not going to work. That's the difference. So Amar Lei, Abai says, "B'mayu kimta lahi gufan shelahen." Why do we say the Brisa that disqualifies all other languages, referring to gufan shelahen in a different when you change the script around? My area mikra shekasu targum, the targum shekasu mikra. Why did it give an example that when you take a Hebrew word, you put it in Aramaic, or an Aramaic word, you put it into Hebrew? Afilu mikra shekasu mikra of a targum shekasu targum. Even if I change a Hebrew word into a Hebrew word, it's still going to be possible if I change the text. We're changing the type of script that's being used. So why is it saying mikra that changed the targum, or targum that changed the mikra? Afilu mikra la mikra is going to be a problem if I change the type of ksav that's being used. The targum shekasu targum nami. The hakatani, because the Brisa concludes, ad sheikh tevenu ashuris al sefer b'dio. Until you write with Hebrew script, on a cloth with ink. So based on this, it's very hard to say that our Bryce is referring to a situation where you're changing the type of script that's being used. Mara says, Ella, what's the difference? Lo kasha. Ha rabbanan ha rabban shimon gamliel. Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama that permitted all Lashonos, that's Shitas Rabbanan. The Brisa here that did not allow to go from Mikra to Targum or from Targum to Mikra, that was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who did not allow you to use any other language. So Gemara says, what do you mean? He did. E Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ha'ika Yevanis, he does allow Greek to be used. So the Brisa really should have said that he doesn't allow anything, ad sheikh tevenu b'ashuris, o Yevanis. The fact that it did not give Yevanis as an option indicates that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not the author of the Brisa. Ella, Lokashia, Kan Bisvarm, Kan Bitfilin Umuzos. Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama, is referring to Svarm. That's when it could be written Bechalashim. This Brisa is not referring to Svarm. It's referring to Tefillin Umuzos. Tefillin Umuzos can only be written in Ashuris, Lashon HaKodesh. So Gemara wants to know now, Tefillin Umuzos, my time. What's the reason why tefillin and mezuzah only works in Lashon HaKodesh? Mishum dechsida. Behu, the pasuk says in the parsha of Shema, v'hayu v'havyasan yihu. V'hayu means it should be the way it was. It was given to Moshe. It was written out, down in Ashuris. So therefore, it has to remain Ashuris to be kosher tefillin and mezuzah. So you cannot change from that at all. Now, Gemara wants to know, my targum shekasu mikra. What's an example of an Aramaic word that can be written in Hebrew? Ika. So, Bishma Torah, I understand if that Bryce was referring to Torah, Ika Yagar Sadusa, the Pasuk says, and then the Parsha Vayetze, that's an Aramaic word that you can change to a Hebrew word. Elahacha, my targum Ika. When it comes to Tefillin Mezuzos, if the Bryce is referring to Tefillin Mezuzos, so what's an example of a pasuk that's in Targum, that's found in Tefillin Mezuzos, that might be able to be changed to Mikra? There no such word appears. So therefore, the Braisa cannot be referring to Tefillin and Mezuzos. El Lokasha, Kan b'Megillah, Kan b'Svarim. When it comes to our Mishnah, when we allowed Chaloshon, that's referring to Svarim. The Braisa is referring to Megillah. Megillah can only be written in Lashon HaKodesh. So how do we know that? How come Megillah is only written in Lashon HaKodesh? Megillah my time. What's the reason? The pasuk says in Megillah's Esther, the way it's written and the language. You have to maintain the language it was initially written in, which is written in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's why Megillah cannot be changed from any other language. So Gemara says now, my targum shekasu mikra, ika. Within Megillah's Esther, what's an example of a word that's in targum, that's in Aramaic, that might be changed to Hebrew? So Amar Papa says, the pasuk says, v'nishma piskam hamelch, and they heard the piskam, the letter, piskam is a Aramaic word. That's the example where Papa says. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Amar v'chol anashim yitnu yikar libalem. The Gemara says that Rav Nachman at least thinks that yikar is an Aramaic word. That's the example that we find in Megillah's Esther. Okay, so the Tos has an interesting question. Look at Tos on the top for a second, Bishlama. He says, V'kasha, am I mifsalei b'hachi? So we go back to the Braisa, read the whole thing together. The Braisa says, if I change an Aramaic word and write it in Hebrew when it's not supposed to be in Hebrew, or if I take a Hebrew word and write in Aramaic, it's possible. That when it comes to the Megillah, that's the Braisa. Right now the Braisa is referring to Megillah's Esther. So asks Tosos, am I mifsal? Why is that possible, b'hachi? Hello, Eli, Yachaser, Kol, Eli, Sholosh, Tevos, Lo, Mafsu, B'Hachi? Kedamrin, Begitin, Sefer Torah, actually referring to Sefer Torah, not a Megillah. Kedamrin, Begitin, Sefer Torah, Shechaser, Yiri, Achas, Ein, Kornbo, Mash, Bedafka, Yiri, Achas, about Pasuk, Echa. It sounds like from this, I thought the question was from Megillah, but probably a better question when it comes to Megillah. That when a Sefer Torah, only if it's missing an entire Yiriya, an entire piece of cloth, is a puzzle. But if it's missing one or two words, apparently it's not possible. So why then, if you change the word to a different language, that should be no worse than not having the word there at all? I know it's a little strange for us, because you know when a letter is wrong or missing, it is possible. I thought Pashas was the question when it comes to Megillah's Esther, because you know Megillah's Esther, you're allowed to have missing chunks of the Megillah. That, to me, would be a more sensible question. So I'm misunderstanding something, obviously. Either way, the answer that he gives within the world of Sefer Torah, he says, Dachak HaKuntras, Rashi tries to explain, Degara Tvei Kishu Kasuv Targum Nichshu Lo Nichtav Klal. Sometimes it's better when it's absent, when it's missing, than when it's written something that's incorrect. That's what Rashi explains. So if the Sefer Torah is missing one word, that's okay. But if the word was a wrong word, that's a problem according to Rashi. Now again, I don't know how this fits with how we understand a Sefer Torah. Missing a word is certainly possible. So I don't remember this Gemara again, even though we just saw it recently in Daf Yomi. But Tosus himself doesn't like that answer. Tosus himself suggests, it's okay. If it has the wrong word there, from Targum to Mikra, or Mikra to Targum, it's still a kosher Sefer Torah, apparently. It's a mistake. So fix it. All you have to do is fix it, but not to say it's puzzle. Apparently, missing a word or having the wrong word is not puzzle when it comes to Sefer Torah. But don't learn this halacha l'maisa at all. Says the Gemara. Rashi Amar, Kitanya hi, that Braisa is referring to Shar Svarim Rabbi Yehuda hi. Really, the Braisa is talking about other Sifrei Tanakh, just like the Mishnah is. It's just a different author than our Mishnah. The Braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Tefillin and Mezuzos Ein Nichtavin Ela Ashuris, that he permits Tefillin and Mezuzos only to be written in Hebrew. Rabbi Seinu Hetiru Yevanis, they permitted even to be written in Greek. How could that be? The Haksiv, doesn't it say V'hayu? That Sifrei Torah, rather, Tefillin mezuzah have to be v'hayu dafkin lashon hakodesh. How can they permit yivanis? Ela ema, what the Braisa should really say is svarim nichtavim b'chol lashon. You can write the language in this, the Sifrei Torah in any language you want. Rabbi Shenu Hitiru Yivanu Yivanis Hitiru. They only permitted Yivanis. Mechlav the Tanakama Aser. Does that mean the Tanakama prohibited using Yivanis? So Elo, what the Brisa should really say is Eima Rabbi Shenu Lo Hitiru Shiachtu El Yivanis. So after the Brisa is all fixed up, what comes out is pretty much what we had in the Mishnah. The Tanakama says you could write Sifrei Torah in any language. And Rabbi Senu, who's Lechora, is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, permits only Yevanis. B'tanya on this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Af kishitir Rabbi Senu Yevanis, even when the Rabbanan permitted Yevanis, lo hitir elo b'sefer Torah, when it comes to Sefer Torah, but not to the other Sifrei Tanakh, not Tanakh, only Sefer Torah, because of the Maisa that we're about to see. So what Bryce is referring to is other Sifrei Tanakh, Tanakh, not the five books of the Sefer Torah, but the other 19 Svarim of Tanakh. That's what the Brice is referring to. So let's understand this now. Our Mishnah, Tanakhama, says all 24 books of Tanakh can be written b'chol lashon. The Brice agrees the five Chamishi Chumshi Torah can be written in any language. We'll see in a second why that is. But the other Svarim may not be written. Okay? So how do we know? So I missaid that. I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda says that other Sifrei Tanakh, the Chumash, can only be written in Yevanis because of the following Maisa. But the other Sifrei Tanakh can only be written in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's what the Brice is referring to when it says, Davka, Ad Shechtevenim Ba'ashuris, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita for the other 19 books of Tanakh. But Chamish Shechum Shetara, Rabbi Yehuda permits Yevanis. Why does he permit Davka Chumash? How does he make a chilik between the other Sifrei Tanakh and Chumash? It's because of following famous Maisa, Maisa with Talmei HaMelech. What would happen with Talmei HaMelech? Talmei HaMelech, Rashi tells us, was the Melech in Mitzrayim. You see there, Rashi? It's all the way up, around six lines down, narrow lines down. Melech Mitzrayim Haya. He was the king of Egypt. The Tanya, the Brisa, tells us that Maisa Batalmi HaMelech Shekines Shivim Ushnaim Zekanim. He brought in 72 different elderly Zekanim, wise people. The Chnisin B'Shivim Shnaim Batim. He placed them in 72 separate houses. V'lo Gila Lehem Alma Kinson. He didn't tell them why he brought them into the house just yet. Menechnas Etel Polech Avechad. He went to each person in the house. He said to them, "Kisfuli Torah Moshe, Toras Moshe Rabchem." So please write for me the Sefer Torah Moshe. Nasna Kadosh Baruch Hu Belev Kol Echad VeEchad Eitza. Kadosh Baruch Hu placed in each one of their hearts, their minds, the advice. V'skimu Kol Nadas Achas. They all had the same kavana, and ends up being 14 different psukim that they change intentionally, all exactly the same change, in order that there's no fighting among, that no one was doing any trickery. He won't kill anybody for trying to play games with the king. They all had exactly the same exact Sefer Torah with the exact 14 changes alike. The Gemara now is going to go through the list of 14 psukim that they all changed. So the Gemara says first, and by the way, it's because of this Maisa that was written in Greek, that's why Dafka, because of this tremendous nace that took place, they permitted, Rabbi Yehuda permitted a Chumash to be written in Yevanis in addition to Lashon HaKodesh, but all the other 19 Sifrei Tanakh cannot be written in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we should review again the Shittas before we go ahead in the Pesukim. Again, Tanakama in the Mishnah says that all Sifrei Tanakh can be written in Bechol Lashon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says all Sifrei Tanakh can only be written in Yevanis and Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmir. He only permits Yevanis for Chumash, but the other 19 Svarim he permits only in Lashon HaKodesh. So those are the three Shittas. So now we're going to go through the 14 Pesukim, showing what the changes were. So the first Pasuk is, Pasuk says, V'kasvulah, that's part of the, they all wrote as follows. Elokim bara bracious. So you change, obviously, a word around there. Don't say bracious bar elokim. It says elokim bara bracious. There was a concern that if you wrote bracious first, it sounded like bracious. There's this being, bracious, called bracious, that was bar elokim, that created God, which would indicate that God came from some other being, which, of course, isn't true. So they changed it around to say, no, elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created in the beginning, and so on and so forth. That was change number one. Change number two, the Pasuk says, Ase Adam B'Tzelem, and he made Ubudimus, he made the man in the Tzelem in an image of Hashem. What does the Pasuk really say? It says Nase implies that we, as a group, did it. Implies that there are a number of gods, which of course isn't true. So therefore they change it to Ase, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created man. That's change two. Change three, the Pasuk says, Vayichal B'Yom HaShishi, Vayishbos B'Yom HaShvi. What's the Pasuk? What's it supposed to be? Vayichal B'Yom Yom HaShvi, right? It should be Yom HaShvi, which indicates that the work stopped on Shabbos. So what? It sounds like it's incorrect that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, he worked on Shabbos itself. And that's when he stopped doing the work. He worked a little bit into the seventh day and then stopped, as opposed to saying he stopped right away. So he changed it to B'Yom HaShishi. what the problem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked on Shabbos. So Rashi says, I'm not quite sure what Rashi means by this. Rashi explains, if you look around 10 narrow lines down, by Yechal Bayom HaShishi, Shelo Yomar, so people shouldn't say, Imkein, Asim Lacha B'Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did work. If it said, Vayechal Bayom HaShvi, as it does, it sounds like he stopped work on Shabbos, but he did a little bit of work on Shabbos. So people are going to say, ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did work on Shabbos. Dok Siv Vayechal Bayom HaShvi. They wouldn't trust the Medrash. So what's the problem if HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked on Shabbos? I think it's what we spoke about a couple weeks ago on Sunday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the entire Torah, keeps all the mitzvos. And the fact is, the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah that says that he kept Shabbos. So if you read this pasuk, it sounds like he didn't keep Shabbos because he only stopped the work, he finished the work on Shabbos itself. So that might be part of the issue with why they had to change it around. I'm not entirely sure why. Then the next change is the pasuk says, Zachor Nekeva Baru. V'lo Kasu Bera'o. Ihim. V'lo Kasu Biram. He quoted it, him, as opposed to them. So why? There's a confusion. There's a stirim psukim, whether he created, you know, one body and two heads, or that the machshava, or really two bodies separately. The Gemara's and Subas talk about this. One was b'machshava, one was b'maisa. So it gets very, very confusing as to what happened. So they wanted the psukim to be consistent. They changed it to Baro. The next one is Hava Erda V'Avla. What's that pasuk? What should it really say? Right, Nerda, that we went down. We went down, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with his Bezdin. Yeah, Rashi says he consulted with his Bezdin. But they wouldn't understand this. That means there are a number of gods there? Certainly not. They change it to the singer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself went down. V'Avla Sham Sfasam. This is all in Greek, apparently. I thought in Greek. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to change
it. I'm wondering why you didn't bring the Sefer Torah from somewhere else and compare it to the 72 here.
Right, if it was in Greek, there's nothing else to compare it to. This is the first time it was ever written in Greek. Okay, then the pasuk says, again, Hava Erda V'Evla Sham Sfasim, and he separated the their language. Fine. Then Batitzchak Sarah Bikroveha, pasuk says, as opposed to Bikirba, and Sarah laughed at the hearing that she's going to have another child, a child. So she laughed inside herself. It says Bikirba, but they change it to Bikroveha. Bikirba sounds like in the singular, inside herself. Kroveh sounds like in their insides, including Avram as well, because Avram also laughed, and they were going to be concerned that there might be some confusion that why is only Sarah being blamed and not Avram Avinu being blamed. So it says Bikroveh, they were both really laughing. Then the next pasuk says, where are we? Ki ba'apam hargu shor uretonim ikru eva. So this is in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov's giving the brachas, he's giving rebuke to Shimon and Levi for destroying Ir Shechem. So it says, ki ba'apam, in their anger, hargu ish, the pasuk really says, that they killed men, they were murderers. They change it to ki ba'apam hargu shor, that they killed ox. He didn't want them to suggest that maybe that the brothers, the sons of Yaakov, were actually murderers. They changed it to shor, from ish to shor. Next pasuk says, this is the eighth one now, Vayikach Moshe's isha v'esbanav v'arkivem al nosei b'nei adam, and he placed his wife Tzipor and his children on that an animal that holds people. The pasuk really says on a chamor, on a donkey. So why did he change from a donkey to a nosei b'nei adam, to just a regular carrying, some animal that carries without specifying which one? Because there's a concern that Talmei HaMelech was going to make fun of Moshe. He was such a poor person that all he could afford was a chamor, a little donkey. So therefore, he didn't want him to make that, to start making fun. So they changed it to whatever animal of that time would carry people around. The ninth change is that Umoshe of Bnei Yisrael asher yashu b'Mitzrayim u'bishar ratos arba meos shana. That Klai Yisrael was sitting in the Mitzrayim for 400 years. And they changed it. The pasuk really says, Shloshim shana v'arba meos shana. They added in the world Vishar Aratos, because if we do the calculation, they were not really there for 430 years. From Yitzhak Avinu, depending when exactly you calculate it, they were not there. So he says, what are you talking about? The Torah Sheker, it's not the right calculation. So they added in the words, the Shar Aratos, other lands included, was part of the Gullus from Eretz Israel. The tenth change is, Vayishlach as Zatute Bnei Israel. And they sent, so the pasuk really says, Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael. They sent out the young kids of b'nei Yisrael to go bring karbanos. So young kids, that they're going to represent Klai Yisrael, they're going to be the shluchim to bring karbanos on behalf of Klai Yisrael. They should have kohanim go, someone who's chashiv. So therefore they changed the word na'arei to zatute. I'm not familiar with the shorish of zatute, but apparently it means something that can be referring to either chashiv people, it could be, it's more generic. Kind of like what we said before, instead of saying chamor, we said nosa bin adam, something that carries people. So to zatute, just a person, it could sometimes be a nar, it could also be someone who's chashiv. So therefore they change it to word zatute. And they also change another pasuk, where the pasuk is supposed to be el atzile ben Israel, which is referring to chashiv, the chashiv people amongst ben Israel. They change that word to be ve'el zatute ben Israel lo shalach yado. So we see two different instances that certainly the case of the second change was certainly talking about chashiv people. They use the word zatute, so if that zatute refers to someone chashiv, so it must be the ones who are doing the karbanos prayer also zatute were chashiv people as well. That's all one change. That's the 10th change. Now the 11th change, the pasuk says lo chemed echad mehem nasasi. So when it's talking about the whole discussion here of Korach, so the pasuk says they got very angry at Moshe, and Moshe says to Hashem, I did nothing wrong. I didn't even take a chamor echemhem nasasi. I didn't take a chamor for that. I didn't even take a donkey. So he changed the word to lo chemed echemhem. I didn't take any object. I didn't take anything that I wanted. Lo sachmer. I didn't desire anything from them. More generic, because had it been, it said lo chamor, Talmei Melech would have said, ah, he didn't take a chamor, but maybe he took something else. So they write that he took nothing, lo chemed, he didn't take anything at all that he would possibly want to make ensure Talmei Melech wouldn't make fun of them. The 12th change is, Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha osam lahayir l'chol ha'amim. The pasuk describes that when he gave the koach to the stars, to the moon, and to the sun, all to show light, spread light, and your person's going to bow down, that's going to be, of course, avodah zarah. So the pasuk says, "Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha osam lahari l'chol ha'amim." They added the word that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who gave them the ability to give light. If you read the pasukim straight, it sounds like they had their own ability, their own kochos, and it sounds like they are godlike on their own. So therefore, they had to add the word in and qualify. They only get their ability to shine light from a Kadosh Baruch Hu itself, not to think that chas v'shalom they have any koch in their own right. The 13th change is. The pasuk says, "Vayelach vayavod Elohim acherim asher lo tzivisi la'avdam," that they served gods that they were not commanded to serve. So the pasuk really says, "Vayelach vayavod Elohim acherim vayishachvu lahem," and they bow down to them. "V'la'shemesh ol yarech ol lechol tzva hashmaim asher lo tzivisi," and to all the sun and the moon and all the stars, at which I didn't command. So why they add the word lo tzivusu la'avdam? It doesn't say la'avdam in the pasuk. So they wouldn't suggest, perhaps, that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't command them, but it sounds like they had some koach. He didn't command them, but maybe you'll be allowed to. They have some koach. Maybe you can serve them. So tzivis of them sounds like you're not allowed to serve them because they have no kochos in their own right. Let's see Rashi. Make that clear. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, asher lo tzivisu la'avdam, three lines down. He says, she'im lo kasvu la'avdam, if it doesn't say that word, mashma asher lo tzivisu she'yihu, I didn't command that they will be. I didn't create them. They just became on their own, it sounds like. So no, I didn't command them to be served, but certainly I created them. Akash Baruch Hu certainly created them. So therefore, they have to qualify the word tzivisu, means I didn't command them to be served, but I did command them to be created. And the 14th and final change they made was the kasvulo es tziras haraglaim. It talks about in Parshas Shemini, it describes all the different behemos tameos. The lo kasvulo es harnevis. Harnevis is a type of a bunny, a hare, I think. So they wrote the word tziras haraglaim instead of arnevis. Why? Bipnei she'isho shatamehem talmei arnevis shema. Talmei's wife's name was Arnevis. And if they write the word Arnevis in the Torah, he doesn't know what's really in the Torah. Shelo yomar sachaku biha yehudim v'hitilu shem ishi b'Torah. They're making fun of my wife. They put her name somewhere in the middle. They didn't think I was going to catch it. So they all of them changed the name of Arnevis to Tziras Haraglaim. So those are the 14 changes.
But they were written in Greek.
Yeah.
All written in Greek, exactly.
No, but if it was written in Greek, so then Arnevis isn't a problem. Arnevis was her name.
Arnevis was it, right, but
it wasn't rabbit, it was Arnevis. So if they changed it to whatever the Greek word of Arnevis is, then it wouldn't be her name.
It wouldn't be the name, but they certainly, the whole reason for this, I thought was trying to prove that it was written in Greek, and that's why the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda permitted it to be written in Greek. If that's the case, then why would Arnevis be a Shiloh then? But wasn't that the whole proof here? But so if that's the case, so that's a good kasha. So why not just use the Greek word of Arnevis? Maybe her name was the Greek word of Arnevis?
Her name was the same as the Greek word.
Yeah,
that's must be the Greek word, right.
That was the problem.
Uh-huh, must
maybe
be.
Her name was Bunny.
Right, right, exactly.
Whatever it was.
They changed it yeah. Short
right, exactly, something like that.
Yeah. It's no crazier than our Neve.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, the Gemara is not going to write Greek to us. The Gemara can only speak to us in Hebrew. So speaking to us in Hebrew, but you have to just keep in mind everything is Greek. So whatever word for our Nevis in Greek is, that's called Bunny. So maybe her name was Bunny, so they change it to short legs. Okay.
They were chayshes that Talmai would think that every single one of them switched it to the word our Nevis to make fun of them?
Possibly.
So then it's not so crazy that every single one of them changed all those other words.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if they changed it so that they shouldn't think that, like, you know, the Jews of that generation are making fun of his wife, then clearly, like, he would have thought that, like, that it's possible that all these people would be mechaven to the same exact thing.
I don't know. It could be that they had, you know, the Sefer Torah they had in the past, before they got into the rooms, they all had our Nevis in the Torah. And maybe they may decide amongst themselves, put our Nevis in the Torah, let's make fun of Talmai HaMelech. And then when they rewrote it in the houses, it wasn't because they had that same kavana. That was the existed beforehand. But okay, let's go right now. The Gemara says the two dots now. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Bisvarm Lo Hitiru Shiichtu El Ivanis. Rashbag only permitted Hebrew and Greek when it comes to the Sefer Torah. So Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kirashbag. We passing like that you could only write the Torah in Hebrew or Greek. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rashbag. What was his reasoning? Amar Kol Hapasuk says Yefas El Kim Liyefes Vishkam Beolei Shem. Dvarav, so what's the pasuk? The pasuk that appears in Parshas Noach tells us that the Dvarav Shel Yefes, the words, the beautiful words of Yefes, which is referring to Greek, Yefes is referring to like all of Europe, but at least one of the countries, one of the languages is Greek. So Dvarav Shel Yefes, Yehu Baal Hashem, they should be in Ol Hashem, which is referring to the Torah and the base Medrash. So that's why we permit Greek. How do you know the Dvarav Shel Yefes? It's an entire continent of Europe. The Ema, Gomer, Magog, maybe one of the other languages it's referring to. How do you know it's talking about Greek? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Hainu Taima, Dechsev Yefes, Elkim, Liefes. What is the double Lashon Yefes? Yef Yusa, She Yefes, Yuba Oleshem. Apparently, Greek was the most beautiful of the languages, so that's why that was chosen to be placed in the Oleshem. So, in light of this, that was the basis for Rashbag. Okay, the Gemisha tells us now. Going back to, so this is going to be some carbonos now. I know we did a little Tumah Vatara. Kachim is a lot easier than Tumah Vatara. This won't be too bad, but still a little bit foreign. The Mishnah tells us that Ein Ben Kohen Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha L'Meruba Begadim. So there are two ways a Kohen Gadol can be appointed to be a Kohen Gadol. Either it's through taking the Shem HaMishcha, last week's Parsha, and rubbing it onto the Kohen Gadol and between it on his forehead, or by him putting on the 8 Begadim. Normally, a Kohen Hedot wears 4 begadim, a Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim. So the first time this Kohen Hedot puts on 8 begadim, by wearing those 8 begadim, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. So what's the difference of a Kohen Gadol who uses the oil versus a Kohen Gadol who becomes by Merubah begadim, by wearing 8 clothing? By the way, Rashi just tells us the history of when you needed. Rashi explains towards the top here, Merubah begadim, Kohanim Sheshim Shubbe Bai Sheni, where only there's no Shemin HaMishcha by times of Bai Sheni. And Af Bais Rishon, even during the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, Miyamos Yoshia Veilach, after Yoshia's time, Shenigzu Shtulcha Shoshav and HaMishcha, they hid the oil. So at that point also, the only way to become a Kohen Gadol was through Merubah Begadim. So what's the difference between a Kohen Gadol Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha versus Merubah Begadim? Ella, the one difference is Par Haba Akol HaMitzos. So the Lach is, Rashi explained, there's a whole Masechta called the Horios. Horios is one of the shortest Masechtas. 14 blot. It talks about a hara where a Beis Din makes a certain hara and there's a mistake. A Kohen Gadol makes a certain hara. A Melech makes a hara. Certain halachas, and if you violate that hara or the hara was incorrect, you have to bring a karbon. So when a Kohen Gadol makes a hara that was incorrect and he ended up following his own hara and he listened to it even though it was incorrect, he has to bring a special karbon called a par haba akol mitzvos. So only if a person is Meruba, rather Shemen HaMishcha, which is a higher level Kohen Gadol. The Shemen HaMishcha type of Kohen Gadol, he has to bring a par, a kabbal kol mitzvos, if he does this hara and violates it. If he's a Kohen Meruba begadim, he does not result in bringing this type of par. Then the Mishnah says, Ein bein Kohen Mishamish l'Kohen l'Shavar, Elapario Makipurim Vesiris Aifa. So there's no difference between a Kohen who's Meshamesh, who's actively working the Beis HaMikdash, versus a Kohen Gadol who lost his post. He was once a Kohen Gadol, but then he lost it. We'll see why in a moment. What's the difference? The two differences. One is the par. Who's going to bring the par on Yom HaKippurim? We know the number of karbanos that are being brought. So the first thing, they bring a par. The Kohen Gadol brings his own personal par. It's called Paro Shel Aaron. He brings it, he shechs it, he takes the blood, sprinkles it onto the inside the Kodesh Kedashim near the Aron. Then he shechs, he does the two goats, the goral, takes the sar l'Hashem, he shechs it, brings that goat, the dam of sire, sprinkles in Kodesh Kedashim, he does the whole process. So that par from the Kohen Gadol can only be brought by the Kohen who's actively working in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen She'avar does not bring that par on Yom HaKippurim. The second difference is the Asir Sa'efa. Every single day the Kohen Gadol will have to take an Asir Sa'efa, which is a certain measurement of flour, and half would be put on the Mizbeach in the morning, the other half in the afternoon. So only the active Kohen Gadol would bring the Asir Sa'efa, as opposed to the Kohen Shavar would not bring the Asir Sa'efa. The Gemara is Medag now. Hol Inyan Par Yom HaKippurim V'Asir Sa'efa Zev Zeshavim. So we're going back to the Reish of the Mishnah. The difference between Meruba Begadim versus Shemen HaMishcha. The only difference we said was the par haba kol hamitzvos, that par of the special harab that the Kohen Gadol gave. But all other halachas, whether it's a Kohen Gadol Meshuach Mechama, or Kohen Gadol Meruba Begadim, whichever way he became the Kohen Gadol, they're both equal in that they would bring the par on Yom HaKippurim, and they bring the Asir Sa'efa every single day. Mar now says, Masnis in our Mishnah is delo k'Rabbi Meir. It's not like Rabbi Meir. And by the way, I know we saw it differently, but in the beginning of Maseches Megillah here, but whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, we always assume that Stam Mishnah is always Rabbi Meir. And the only time the Gemara asks otherwise, when the Gemara had a certain Masorah, that this Mishnah was not Rabbi Meir, that's when they ask the question. But otherwise, they always assume the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. This I just saw this today, in the end of Maseches Brachos, is something that's called the Mevo LaTalmud, an introduction to the Talmud, written by one of the early Rishonim, Rabbi Shimon HaNagi, right? Very good. So he talks about different very important principles of learning through the Torah, rather the Gemara Mishnah. So he says the klal that every Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and unless they had a Kabbalah otherwise, they always assume a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Here they apparently had a certain Kabbalah that wasn't Rabbi Meir. They start figuring out who is the author of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Masnisin is delo k'Rabbi Meir. This Mishnah is not like the normal Stam Mishnah. It's not like Rabbi Meir. Why not? Di Rabbi Meir, Hatani, the Braisa tells us that Meruba Begadim Mevi Par Haba Kol HaMitzos Divrei Rabbi Meir. Not only a Meshuach Mechama, but even a Meruba Begadim would also bring a Par Haba Kol HaMitzos. According to our Mishnah, a Par Haba Kol HaMitzos was the difference between a Meshuach Mechama and Meruba Begadim. A Meruba Begadim would not bring a Par, according to our Mishnah, but Rabbi Meir says he would bring one. So that's how we know Rabbi Meir did not author our Mishnah. However, the Chachamim Omrim in the Brisa here that Eino Mevi, he does not bring, only a Shemin Mishcha would bring. My time with Rabbi Meir. Why did Rabbi Meir think that even Meruba Begadim should bring a Par Haba Kol Mitzvos? The time the Brisa tells us, Mashiach, that Pasuk says, I'll read the whole Pasuk on the side here, it says, Mirzis Pasuk, Osvav, Vim Kohen HaMashiach, the Kohen who's been anointed, Yechteh, he violates a sin, La'ashmas Ha'am, V'hikriv Al Chataso, Asher Chata, Par Bemekar, he brings the Par. That's what's called the Par Haba Akol Mitzvos. So the Pasuk says, Kohen HaMashiach, who's been anointed. How do you get anointed? With Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara says, Mashiach Ein Li Ela Mashiach Shemen HaMishcha. I only know if he's been anointed with actual oil, does he have to bring the Par? What about Meruba Begadim Minayin? How do I know a Kohen Gadol who put on the 8 clothing, that too, such a Kohen would have to bring a Par Haba Akol Mitzvos if he violates his Hora? Tamil Omer, HaMashiach, it sounds like from the extra letter Hey comes to include the Meruba Begadim. Is it the extra letter Hey? I think so. Okay. Marna says, now that we've established that the Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Meir, so B'mayo Kimna, Dilo K'Rabbi Meir, that which we said, the Reisha is not like Rabbi Meir, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa of the Mishnah, which talks about the difference of an active Kohen Gadol versus an inactive Kohen Gadol, which says, Ein ben kon mishamesh l'kohen shavar, ela par yom ha-kippurim v'asir seifa. The only difference between the two is that the active Kohen Gadol does bring the par yom kippur, and he brings an asir seifa every single day. Ha, but the diuk is, l'chol divrehem, every other aspect, zev zeh shavar, they're both equal, both an active and inactive Kohen Gadol have all the same halachas. So the Seifa, us and the Rabbi Meir, actually turns out works very nicely with Rabbi Meir. Even though the Reisha is not like Rabbi Meir, the Sefer is like Rabbi Meir. Where do we see Rabbi Meir's opinion here? The Tanya, the Baraita tells us that Iraba Psul, if the Kohen Gadol, a certain Psul happens to him, so what do? Then, Mino Kohen Acher Tachtav, you point another Kohen after him, and it's usually a Skan. There's a Skan Kohen Gadol. The Skan Kohen Gadol has a very big role, of course, throughout the year, and certainly in Yom Kippur. He's the guy, when the Kohen Gadol is there, picking the two Garolos for the Sar Lashem, Sar Azazel. So, when he takes him out, so the Skan's on his right, and the Rosh Av, I think it's on the left, I think that's what we call him. So he takes him out, and he's supposed to get the Salah Hashem in his right hand, and the Salah Zazel in his left hand. So the guy, the Skan Kohen Gadol on his right says, lift your right hand, that shows the Salah Hashem. That's one of the roles that he plays there. According to one Braisa, I think the Kohen Gadol, usually the Pashas is, according to the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol puts in both hands, the right and the left hand. There is one opinion that says the Kohen Gadol puts his right hand in, and the Skan puts his right hand in. And the question is, are two right hands better than the Kohen Gadol's right hand than his left hand? I mean, is Skan Kohen Gadol's right hand greater than the Kohen Gadol's left hand? That's the Shaila. In the Gemara, we pass on that the Kohen Gadol puts both hands in. Either way, we see that in general, the Skan Kohen Gadol does play a very prominent role. And one of those roles are, he's the backup Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul. So the Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul. And they point the backup guy instead of him. So the Rishon, Choser Lavodaso, and Sheni Kalmitzah Sakuna Gedola Olav Divi Rebbe Meir. So now let's say the first Kohen Gadol becomes, the Psul goes away. He became Tame. Now he's no longer Tame. So the Rishon, the first Kohen Gadol, goes back to his regular service. He becomes the Kohen Gadol. What happens to the second guy who substituted for a week? So he loses it. He, what happens to him? He goes, he actually still keeps all the halachas of Kuna Gedola. Sounds like he would also bring an Asir Se'efa every single day. And he would also bring a Par Yom HaKippurim. That's what it sounds like here. So Rebbe Meir thinks, in such a situation, you have two active Kohanim Gedolim, so that oh, wait a second, I said the wrong thing. We want to say, this is like Rebbe Meir. It must be that all the halachas of Kohen Gadol are on him, probably with the exception of those two. Let's see the Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi for a second. Rabbi Yossi says, Omer, Rishon Chozer Lavodah. So the first guy, after he becomes Tower, goes back to being active Kohen Gadol. Shani, the second guy, who was the backup, who no longer is needed, Eino Roy Lola Kohen Gadol, Lola Kohen Hedot. He's nothing. He can't be a Kohen Gadol. We'll see in a second why, because it's going to be Eva. They're going to be fighting with each other, animosity. He can't be a Kohen Hedot, because Ma'am Mekodesh Vein Maridin, once he's been upgraded to a Kohen Gadol, you can't send him back down to being a Kohen Hedot. So he's stuck in the middle somewhere. He's nothing. So Rabbi Yossi says, this guy is just, he's stuck in between. But Rabbi Meir still says that he still is an active Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Meir must be the author of our Seifa, who said there's only two differences between the two of them. But regarding all other halachas, they're exactly the same. So Rabbi Meir didn't author the Reisha, but he authored the Seifa. How could that be, that two different authors of one Mishnah? So the Gemara continues before we get to the answer. And the Gemara explains that Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam, Bitzipori, there's a story once with him, She'ir b'psul b'Kohen Gadol, when he was a Kohen Gadol, was he a Kohen Gadol? Maybe during his time. Was he the actual Kohen Gadol? Let's see. I don't know, I'm not sure if he was the actual Kohen Gadol, but it might have happened during his time that the Kohen Gadol was...
He was a Skan, sounds like.
He was the Skan, yeah? Oh yeah, exactly, the next time. So the Kohen Gadol became Pasul. Uminuhu, they pointed Rav Yosef, Tachtav, to be the backup. Now he was active as the Kohen Gadol. And after the first Kohen, apparently, I guess, the Kohen Gadol got better. The Psul went away. When they pass in the Rishon Choser Lavodaso, the first Kohen Gadol goes back to active service. And Shani, which was Rav Yosef, he was Eino Roy Lola Kohen Gadol, but Lola Kohen Hedot. He was stuck. Kohen Gadol, he can't be, because Mishum Eva, you can't have two Kohen Gadol, and they're going to be fighting with each other. They're going to be hating each other. And you couldn't be a Kohen Hedot, Mishum Malam Bekodesh Vein Lo Maridin. Once he's been upgraded to become a Kohen Gadol, you can't downgrade him, so therefore he's stuck. Either way, Rabbi Meir of this Braisa is in accordance with the Seifa. So the Reisha, we said, was not Rabbi Meir, but the Sefer, we're saying, really is Rabbi Meir. How could two different authors write the Mishnah? So what the Gemara explains, Reisha Rabbanan, the Sefer of Rabbi Meir, could that really be true? Some Rav Chisda, yeah, in Reisha Rabbanan, the Sefer Rabbi Meir. We have many times where we do have two different authors in the Mishnah. Okay, Rav Chisda is not bothered by that. Rav Yosef says, Amar no, Rebbe he, but Nasiv la libadir tonight. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, he wrote the Mishnayos, he compiled the Mishnayos, and he paskin like Rebbe Meir with regards to the Seifa, and he paskin like the Chacham with regards to the Reisha. The two different halachas are not dependent on each other. So So Rebbe has a final psak of all the Mishnayos. He decided to go this way with that halacha and a different way regarding the other halacha, and it's not a problem. Rebbe was the one author. Okay, the Mishnah now tells us, Ein bein bama gedola le bama katana el psachim. The only difference between a big bama and a small bama is regarding the Karbanos Pesach. What's a big bama? What's a small bama? So Rashi explains, Ein bein bama, ein hefresh, there's no difference, b'shas heter habamos. The bamos were permitted, personal mizbechos were permitted during the years of taking over and conquering and dividing the 14 years of Yeshua conquering Eretz Yisrael. So, heter bamos bein bama gedola, zem mizbeach shel Moshe be'oda benova v'givam. When they crossed into the Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, they brought the Mishkan with them. They brought all the different kelim. So the Mizbeach Moshe Beinu was placed in Nov and Givon. It went to different places. I think the Gemara is going to discuss this maybe tomorrow's daf about Nov and Givon. And Bama Ketana, Rashi says, is a Mizbeach Shel Yochid, Shekol Yochid, Yochid, Oseh Bama Latma. They had in their backyard a little grill, a little Mizbeach that they would use. And then there's a big Bama Gedola up in Nov or Givon. And then each backyard had their own personal Bama Yochid. So what's the difference between the big Bama and the small Bama? So the Gemara explained, the Mishnah explains again, El Psachim. Psachim is the only difference. El Lachor, the Karban Pesach, can only be brought on the Bama Gedola, but cannot be brought in my backyard on the Bama Ketana. And the Mishnah concludes, Zeh Klal, this is the rule, Kol Shehu Nidar V'Nidav, anything that can be donated as a Karban, Karbibama, V'Chol She'eno Lo Nidar V'Lo Nidav, Eino Karbibama. When we say here Bama, we mean Bama Ketana. If I make myself a nether, an ola is a typical nether, I want to dedicate something to Hashem, that's a nether, that's an ola, I can bring that on my bama katana in my backyard. If I'm trying to fulfill a chiv, an obligation, I have an obligation of a carbon Pesach every single year, Erev Pesach, that's a chiv, that's not a nether, it's a chiv, that cannot be brought on my bama katana, that must be brought to the bama gedola, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara says, Psachim is too low. Psachim is the only example. I have so many other karbanos. If I violate a chet, and I need to bring a chatas, that becomes a chova. So, can I bring that in my backyard? No, I need to go to the Bama Gedola, to the real Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Eima Kein Psachim. Not only Psachim, anything else that's similar to Psachim, anything else that is a chov, that must be brought to the Bama Gedola, and not on my Bama Katana. Gemara wants to know, money, who is the author of our Mishnah? It must be Rabbi Shimon he. Titani Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Tzibor lo hikrivu ela psachim v'chovos shekavu lem zman. The only, the Tzibor were makriv psachim and any other types of chovos that had a set time to them. Aval chovos shein kavu lem zman, hachav hachav lo kariv. So apparently I was wrong. Chatas is not a good example. Any other time-bound chiv can be brought on a Bama Gedola. If it's a non-time-bound chiv, it cannot be brought on any. So apparently during those 14 years, it sounds like, they never brought chatos. Chatos are not time-bound. If I do an aveir, if I violate Shabbos, I am chayat to bring a karbon, chatos. It's not a chiv that has a zman to it. I have to bring it whenever I can bring it. So it sounds like you couldn't bring the chatos during those times. Let's look at Rashi. Maybe he addresses this. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon, he, the Amar b'perek basa d'zvachim af tzibor lo hikrivu b'bama gdola shim chova. Ela psachim v'chovos hakvu lemzman, only time-bound types of chovos, as like psachim and probably also the carbon tamid. Ava chovos shein kavu lemzman kigon parhelm davar of the sirav of the zara chatalos, like we were saying, hachav hachal karif. Interesting. I guess during this 14 years, they talk and didn't bring any chatalos. Okay, should we stop here? I guess this is the new Mishnah. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll stop here. Shkoyach, guys.
Why does the order of the quotations from the Chumash not go in? It starts off Rashi's, Shmos, and it skips Vayikra, goes to Midrash Rabbah, and then goes back to Vayikra.
Yeah. I saw someone here in a footnote ask that question. Say it again. All halachos?
Yes. Yes. 11, you're in or you're out?
I'm in. Yeah, come in.
Okay, good.
What do you mean by that? Well, how's it answering this question of the order?
Because Vayikra is not like an actual story. Like we're doing something and you could correct it and you should correct it.
Interesting.
That's, I had a question. That's what I thought.
Uh-huh. Let me see what the answer here. We could see, yeah, we could see it.
Yeah,
because
not
the Mishnah,
because like
when the Mishnah is going on, we listen and we accept it. It's on us.
Or you're
in.
because there's no question it's the wrong way.
The wrong way. Good question. No, it's not incorrect about it. It might not be the logical to accept what we're hearing. There wasn't anything that will cause Tommy not to be upset. Good question.
From the mayor, from the tefillin and the Tyler and the bunny and the Scottish to the killer.
It's a good question. There's not always connected.
Coaches come off tangent.
But exactly. Yeah, exactly.